Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, shit!
It is Wednesday, November 26, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. It's the day before Thanksgiving, the day before the day where all the people who cannot stand the Redskins' name will disappear. You will not see the same amount of people who hate the Redskins' name so badly. They need it removed. It's such racism. You will not see those people boycotting Thanksgiving, a holiday that pretty much celebrates, the destruction of the Native Americans. So, call it what you want, but it is what it is. That's, like a yearly thing. You see these people that are outraged, uproar about all this thing, outraged, I should say. And, a lot to say about the name of a football team. But when it comes down to a holiday that celebrates the actual, acts of taking someone's land and, the whole raping and pillaging thing. But anyway, I'm not against either one of the things. Thanksgiving's been around forever. They eat a lot of fucking food, and it's all good. And I don't give a shit about the name of the football team. So anyway, what do I got? I was going to try to have Mike Bailey on this week to make up for last week's interview, and, he wasn't able to do it. It came close, but then he had something come up, work-wise. So next week, I do believe that I will have Mike Bailey on. I'm going to try, and I didn't think about this last week, which is my bad, but when I had Sexy Eddie on, I had to call him from the show, which, isn't like a normal thing, but, it's no problem to do. I just didn't think about it because I think that was about the only time I've done that. So, which was kind of funny because, like, with Eddie, I give everybody the number, I give the whole thing, I try to, hit people up with reminders, don't forget, here's the numbers, the call, and whatever. And,
you know, I've run into the problems in the past where I didn't say Eastern. So now, like, every time I ever type the time of the show, I put Eastern. Because, you know, I've run into problems with people in the Midwest and stuff. And, you know, like, oh, are you calling in? It's like, oh, okay. It's only, you know, such and such time. I'm like, oh, shit. So, I've run into all those different things over the years. But, yeah, with Eddie, I message him. The show started. I message him, like, where you at, man? You calling in? He's like, oh, well, I can't call you. What do you mean? Like, I'm waiting for your call. It's like, oh, shit. So, you know, took a little break, called him up, and, you know, got the show going there. But, yeah, so I'm going to give that a try. Hopefully that works out. I really do want to talk to Mike Bailey and, you know, just find out more about the dude. He's tremendously talented. So, anyway, tune in next week for that. Bunch of different random things. I watched the Macho Man doc. I guess I'll just, you know, go into that now. It was awesome. I mean, there's not a lot more I could say about it. But it was really good, you know. It showed a lot of, like, you know, his father and what he was like as a dude and as a wrestler. And he was a bad motherfucker. And, you know, how Savage was more or less, you know, I had heard that he was, like, a huge, huge into baseball. And he had gotten up to the single A leagues and injuries and whatever else, he ended up not making it, you know, any further, but he was so dedicated. They said that he, you know, he carried around his bat bag with his, you know, his several bats. He had a couple, you know, his own bats, and he would carry them around pretty much everywhere like that. You know, he was always prepared, always ready. They said the dude had, you know, serious pop in his bat, and the fucking dude, he would tie off a tire to the fence, to the chain link fence, and he would just keep hitting that tire with the bat. I mean, that's how he trained his grip strength, and, you know, a lot of how he trained his hitting was doing that, just whacking the fucking tire. And a lot of people, you know, were talking about it and saying, like, you know, never heard that before. And then I saw him doing it and started doing it, and, like, man, that definitely works, you know, for the shock and the impact of hitting the ball. That prepares you, you know, above and beyond for that. So, crazy stuff. But when he got to the point, because all he was is focused on baseball, when he got to the point where he knew he wasn't going to get any further, I think he got cut or whatever the case was. He, you know, he got a huge letdown and drove home, walked out to the big tree in the yard with his bats and shattered every one of his bats on the tree. And that was the last time he picked up a bat. You know, and, like, that was it. Like, he drew a line in the sand. That was it. Like, he just decided, this is over. Didn't, you know, didn't waver on whether he wanted to do. He was all in or all out. And when he went all out on that, he went right into wrestling. And from there, you know, he obviously, you know, found his way pretty quick. And, you know, you could see the old promos and the old, you know, look and all the different things he was doing. And it's just awesome to see. Anybody who doesn't put the Macho Man Randy Savage in the top three all time, I think is crazy. Absolutely crazy. You got to put him. I mean, I honestly put, like, you got Hogan. Hogan, obviously, you know, finds a top spot on most people's list, you know, somewhere up the top, because he was such an iconic name that, you know, no one's really reached that status of Hulk Hogan. I mean, there are people nowhere near knowledge of wrestling than who the fuck Hulk Hogan is. I mean, he's, you know, the Mickey Mouse of wrestling, really. But, you know, but when you come down to it, look at, you know, Hulk Hogan's wrestling ability. Like, how many just unbelievable Hulk Hogan matches have you seen? I mean, I can't say many at all because, I don't know, I'm just not a fan of his work, I guess I could say. But, I mean, obviously the hype and the build and the, you know, the aura that was brought to a Hulk Hogan match, you know, you can't deny that at all. Especially when you have, like, all the promos and build and everything going into, like, Hogan Warrior and, you know, all of those different things, even Hogan Savage, you know, criticize you know, warrior for his wrestling ability or lack thereof or whatever, but I don't know what kind of mat technician Hulk Hogan was. I mean, pretty much punches, big boot, leg drop. I mean, his arsenal was not very big. He had a backdrop in there somewhere, an occasional suplex or a body slam, and I mean, what else did he have? Macho Man, he had not only the promo ability, the intensity. I mean, fucking intensity on that guy. And just out of this world promos that you could never think up in a million years. And, you know, they showed he would just pick like a prop, and that was it. Like, he would just base his promo off of that. He'd come in with a coffee cup, and this represents the cup of coffee that he spent up top. He stopped by for a cup of coffee for, you know, to be up top, and here I am, you know. And his just ability to put things together like that. And, you know, there's always a huge lack of that, even still. And I'd say especially still, people who can just, you know, go above and beyond promo-wise, where it's not just about I'm fucking pissed off and I'm going to go beat you in the ring and I'm tougher and stronger and you know, I'm going to win. I'm going to take the title. Like, just go fucking out there where you have to go like, wow, this guy's on some shit, you know, and we know what it is. No pun intended on that, but I'm saying, you know, I mean, the far out promos that a guy like him and a guy like Warrior would put out there and shit, and you just go, wow, this fucking guy is serious. And you can't match that. And then he still had the ring ability to do so much. You know, obviously, you know, big standout Steamboat and Savage match, you know, just the work behind that. And, you know, overall, like I said, you put his whole body of work together and there's not a lot that can top that. The other guy who I would definitely put up those top spots is Flair, you know, for obvious reasons as well. But, you know, he's got to go in the Hall of Fame. I think this is the precursor to them putting him in the Hall of Fame is putting out the Macho Man DVD. And, you know, long overdue. It's a shame when you see guys like this who there's just no fucking question. I mean, he's one of those guys who, you know, if it was football or baseball or any of those things, he would be a first ballot Hall of Famer with his level of talent and fame and you know, name recognition and everything else. I mean, he's one of those complete standout guys. You wouldn't bat an eye for one second if someone said, you know, Hall of Fame 5 years ago. I mean, you really wouldn't think so. But obviously, you know, politics, and there's all sorts of rumors and different things that happen. And, you know, there was always those rumors about Stephanie. I don't know if any of those things are true. But in the same token, there was a big fucking issue when he went over to WCW. And, you know, and then he also had issues with them when they pulled the, you know, the Nacho Man thing. And, you know, they did the whole – it was he took it as huge disrespect, and they took a lot of shots at him, and he took offense to it. There was a certain point where he wanted to go back in the ring, and Vince said, no, like, we're all set on that, your commentary, and he wanted to do more than that. So you couldn't blame him. You know, when Vince has his direction, I mean, you can't really blame Vince either, because, I mean, he's obviously pretty successful in doing things his way. So, you know, whether that works out for everybody in the company at the time being, Vince is just kind of going to do the things the way he wants to do it, which, you know, allowed WCW to get quite a run out of him and do a lot of different things with him, really. You know, with the whole, you know, Macho Madness thing, you know, and the chicks and, you know, him joining the NWO and the whole thing. So there was a lot for him to do over there that was different from what he was doing in WWE, so, or WWF, but, I just fucking love the Macho Man. He's absolutely fucking iconic. And like I said, the guy needs to be put in the Hall of Fame. Just a shame it's, you know, after he's passed. But I would recommend everybody go out there and get that Macho Man DVD, Blu-ray, whatever the case is. So definitely check that out. I also watched the – I was on fire this week with watching wrestling because normally – come on and tell you all the things that I was supposed to watch and didn't get around to. And I actually watched a good amount of wrestling. I started watching BOLA, BWG's Best of LA from this year. And I'm not going to talk about it this week because I'd like to talk about the whole show once I get to it. I watched night one, awesome stuff. And, you know, I'll break it all down match by match once I finished watching. Excuse me, the other two nights. I watched the, well, I should say listened to. I had the audio version of Teddy Long Shoot, the U Shoot. And I thought this was awesome. He spoke very candidly. He had a lot to say. Funny dude. He was very, very open about things and, you know, talked a lot about different guys, you know, the racism that would go on, but he wasn't bitter. He wasn't bitter at all. Like, for the most part, the different things he would say about people's racism and stuff, he said kind of matter-of-factly. Like, he didn't take that shit personal. He didn't take that, you know, he didn't take it to heart or let it hold him back or hold any grudges whatsoever. Just a top-notch dude, and, you know, some of the stories he had, too. I don't know, Viscera in Viagra. And he would just take it and sit in the locker room and just sit there with his dick hard and shit. And, you know, crazy shit like this. And he also said, but that dude, that same dude would just never, you would never see him undress and shit. He said he could peel an orange in his pocket. That dude was so slick with getting changed and not showing nobody nothing and all that shit. But in the same token, just popping Viagras like crazy and shit. Just crazy shit. But yeah, I would recommend you also check that out. Like I said, he was a lot of fun. And, you know, he definitely had a lot of fun with it. Definitely like to see another one out of him or even like an RF shoot, you know, or, you know, whoever gets a hand, you know, hold of him, because very open dude. And, you know, he's been around a long, long time, and I'm sure he's got tons of stories. So check that out. What else? I attempted to watch, well, I don't want to overbuild what I actually did, because the House of Hardcore show that they had the same night as the Jersey All-Pro show, they had in the arena, and it just, for the most part, just doesn't appeal to me. I'm so done with the rehashing and rehashing of the ECW thing. I can't even take it. It's so overkill at this point. I started to watch it, and I was going to kind of, like, skim through it and see what I liked and everything else. And I got to go back, and I got to – I know there's probably some other matches in there that I would enjoy. So I have to go back through. But I attempted to start from the beginning, and the opening sequence, I just completely turned me off to it. It was another one of these, oh, back in this year, in this building, ECW was, oh, fuck you already with this. I can't take it anymore. This is, I mean, it's 2014, for Christ's sakes. Cut it the fuck out. Jesus Christ. It just doesn't make any fucking sense anymore. It really doesn't. I mean, the future of pro wrestling have all moved in here. I mean, these guys are getting signed left and right in the WWE. There's been indie guys who are on top in the WWE since then. And you still got companies rehashing and rehashing ECW. Like, these are still the main guys you need to watch out for. And, you know, you do have your following of fans that just can't fucking let go of that shit, which to me is just really, really irritating. But in the same token, it is what it is. Like, it's, you know, you beat a dead horse all day. If that dead horse makes you money while you're beating it, I guess. But I don't have any respect for the product that way. You know, anyone who's going to redo the ECW thing, try to go ECW nostalgia route, I'm all set. As soon as I hear that shit, I'm done. So, and I think the opening match was something like Danny Doring and Stevie Richards. Like, who gives a fuck about Danny Doring in 2014? I can't do it, man. I mean, if you guys are still clinging to that, then, you know, enjoy, but fucking shit. The one thing I definitely wanted to see was the Hardys versus the Young Bucks. So I went ahead to the main event, and I watched that. And not that thrilled with it. I'm a big Young Buck fan. I was a Hardy Boy fan. I really was. Me and my brother even went and met him. This was back probably in the year 2000 or something. I think RF even ran the autograph signing I used to have them up at Route 18 Flea Market up in, like, one of the Brunswicks over there. And we used to go up there every once in a while. They'd have, like, a signing or something like that. I had schools there, you know, when they were doing their invasion thing. They had all four of them come out there. That was fucking awesome. So, you know, I mean, you look at that talent, you know, half of them are gone. And, you know, you had them there, Jericho, a different day, RVD I met there, and the Hardys, the Dudleys, you know, all sorts of, they used to run great fucking signings out there. And me and my brother went out there to, you know, meet the Hardys and all that stuff. And Matt was super cool. You know, I mean, so my feelings for Matt now are completely different. I mean, I'm sure as a person he's a cool dude, but I mean, through the whole thing with him doing just about David Hasselhoff type shit with the hamburger on the internet, you know, where he's just like a drunken, sloppy mess, and he's fucking, when he trashed his fucking house and then tried to say that there was ghosts or some shit fucking his house up. I mean, he's just an absolute train wreck. You know, and Jeff too, man. Jeff, when Sting had to fucking carry him through that match in TNA because he was just gone, that shit is so disrespectful, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? And Jeff, I don't know if he pulled it together, you know, substance-wise. I know that he's put on better matches since. I love the Willow thing that he was doing. I thought that was actually cool, a different spin on that, because the Hardy thing was getting very, very stale. You know, the charismatic enigma and all of that. You know, they were beating the shit out of that already, and it gave a different spin to it, and I thought it was pretty cool. But Matt, over the years, has just gotten so fat and sloppy and just fucking gross. The dude actually put on some good matches, or a good match with Sammy Callahan right before Sammy got signed. And I was surprised. I was like, oh, look at this, you know, maybe turning it around or, you know, whatever the case is. And I thought that was good. I think it was like 2CW or some shit. I remember watching and being pleasantly surprised because I had already, like, built up my anti-Matt attitude. And I don't know. And this one, I just thought it was right back to, like, how I was feeling, where it was just slow. I mean, the Young Bucks are super fast, so obviously it's going to be hard, especially, you know, at this stage in the Hardy's career to keep up a team, you know, a team like the Young Bucks. But everything just seems so fucking slow and just really kind of drug everything down as far as mostly what Matt was doing. And, you know, Jeff wasn't lightning fast either, but I couldn't get into it because of it. It wasn't a match that, you know, I was hoping for. I was hoping for something that, you know, came together really well, and it just didn't. And I know they've wrestled in other places too. I think they ran their own type of show or something like that and brought in the Young Bucks in North Carolina. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, if you read the results, generally you're going to hear, oh, so great. But I don't know, you know, how I would have felt about it. But, you know, it is what it is. After the match, you had just retarded. Again, the nonstop ECW shit. You had the Hardys act like they wanted to shake the Young Bucks' hands. Everybody's, you know, chin, fucking, you know, super kick, and all that. Like, they want the Young Bucks to super kick the Hardys. The Hardys got some good response, but still, it was overwhelmingly Young Bucks chants throughout the whole match. And I should point out that the Young Bucks chants throughout the whole match, and even when they were chanting for the Hardys, was very audible coming through, you know, watching it. It was very audible. You can hear them chanting. Okay, so after the match, they go, you know, oh, you know, we're going to shake your hands. And the fans are like, you know, kick the shit out of these guys. And the Young Bucks go to put their hands out, and the Hardys go to double-cross them, and they grab their leg, and then they super kick them on that. And out come the Dudleys. And the Dudley start cutting a promo talking about, you know, hey, the one thing you can't be here is disrespectful. But the Young Bucks, you know, the Hardys tried to turn on the Young Bucks, and the Young Bucks ended up super kicking them for it. So why they're coming out cutting this promo about, hey, nobody's disrespectful in this building, it's like, well, what the fuck are you even saying? But the thing I thought was pretty funny is, I don't give a fuck what nobody says, and you could be there alive, you could have been wherever the fuck you were, but like I said, all that whole match, you had tremendous audible chanting. You could hear a pin drop when the Dudleys walked out there. There was no response. If there was, you couldn't hear it anywhere near what you can hear throughout the whole match of Young Buck chants and Hardy chants and all of that stuff. The Dudleys came out and nobody gave a fuck. Nobody gave a fuck. You sure as fuck couldn't hear it on thing. And you heard, like, chatter, so it wasn't like they muted the audio. Like, there was no pop for the Dudleys coming out because the Young Bucks were over as shit. So them coming out to confront them was – and then they, you know, they hit the 3Ds on them too. Again, very minimal response. So it is what it is. But I just think it's so over with that shit. The fucking ECW, god damn it. And I got to be honest because – I never really got the chance to attend ECW. I was a huge ECW fan, but it was all through watching the tapes and watching the TV show and the pay-per-views and those type of things. So I never got a chance to actually attend the ECW things, and maybe that's a big part of it. And, I mean, it's hard because I wouldn't say that I was less of a fan. I wouldn't say that I didn't like it. I loved ECW. I thought it was great. But for some reason, I don't have that, like, undying, that undying loyalty to it where, like, you could drag any one of them out of, you know, a retirement home and I'm going to pop for them. And, holy shit, it's the Sandman again. Oh, fuck. I don't care that way. I actually have more loyalty and, you know, nostalgic feelings towards the old CZW. Because that was the thing that I went to monthly in that building and, you know, back before the building in Sewell. And, you know, I had so many different moments there that, you know, the people I met over the years and the matches that just showed me new shit that I've never seen before. They took a lot of what ECW was doing and pushed the limits higher. So, you know, those type of things really stuck out for me and still stick out for me. So I still the interviews that I want to get is like, you know, I want to see Lobo show up on this show. I want to see like those type of dudes. You know, so again, that's just me and that's just my taste or whatever. But, you know, they show glimmers of that old CZW, even in the style of what they're working or the aura that gets put out there. It's only in small doses these days because it's way different. It's not the same. You know, I've gone over this a million times, but I just have more of a tie to that. Like the first Deja Vu with Zandig and Lobo, you know, they said it couldn't be done with, you know, White Feeder and Nick Gage. I mean, all the different crazy, crazy shit. Even, you know, seeing Jun Kasai for the first time in Sewell, where he leaped off the fucking, that big ass white wall in the building, put people through tables and, I mean, just, I can go on and on about all the, like, the memorable moments. The first match I saw, or the first show I saw, Crushing the Competition in February 2001 in Sewell. Fucking flaming barbed wire tables. Like, I had seen nothing even remotely close to that. They lit those fucking stack of tables up, and, you know, it was like an indoor soccer arena, for those that don't know. And Wife Beater threw Lobo off of the, you know, where like the referee's chair would be, like the big raised wooden, you know, platform. You know, it was like a raised seating area, like they have in tennis type thing. But, you know, like a wooden thing off to the side. And they had the belt hanging up above there. They lit these fucking tables up. Again, like even these days, you're not going to see something like that. In a small building like that, for them to be lighting big-ass fires, like shit like that's just never going to happen again. They lit these barbed wire tables up he grabs the belt while he's being held up above Wifebeater and gets thrown off of there, clutching the belt, and just goes through the fucking flaming barbed wire tables. They're trying to, like, get this fire put out and pull him off of it, but they couldn't because he's stuck in the barbed wire. This shit was just crazy. So, I mean, to see that going into a company, stuff like that, I'll never, ever forget. And, I mean, ECW was so classic and had so many just I can't take anything away from the things that they did that I loved, absolutely loved. But the doing it again with the same guys this many years later, it's just fucking, it's done. It's absolutely done. I can't humor that shit anymore. So, you know, it is what it is. Let's see what else I got. I have like a small possibility, but I honestly think that I'm going to be done. I think the possibility of me going to Cage of Death, I think is slim to none at this point. There's been zero build. There's been zero effort put into it. The November show wasn't booked until like the fucking day, 5 days before the show, they started announcing matches. There was one match announced. And, you know, 5 days before the show, they finally started putting, you know, two or three matches on the show. We are now November 26th, and Cage of Death is, I believe, like a little over 2 weeks away, something like that. And, you know, they got some matches booked, but there's really no fucking build. There's a couple matches that show some sort of promise, but, you know, even the shit with fucking DJ. I mean, yeah, Tremont and Dickinson kill each other in New York, and then you bring Tremont back, set him up in a program with Greg Excellent the month before Cage of Death. They have some form of tag team food fight at Cage of Death lined up. I mean, that's one of your biggest ultra-violent attractions in Matt Tremont. And Chris Dickinson, the other guy who's got to be the most over face in the company, he's stuck in a match with DJ. Meanwhile, he's cutting promos on how he's going to kill DJ and he's going to fucking eat him in the fucking ring and all this crazy shit. And DJ's, you know, reposting, resharing videos that Dickinson's saying he's going to kill him while he's posting pictures posing with characters in Disney like he's a fucking 8-year-old. You know, he got married to his now wife in Disney World, and they, you know, did their married honeymoon. So while Dickinson is posting, you know, I'm going to kill this fucking guy, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you got this grown-ass man with no kids posing with fucking every character in the Magic fucking Kingdom. And we're supposed to take this shit seriously. Like, yeah, it's going to be a brutal war, Cage of Death, and here's DJ with Aladdin. It's just like, oh, fuck you. It's just, you know, obviously everybody has their real life outside of wrestling and everything like that, but this whole just image of CZW is just silly as fuck. It's nowhere near, like, what I had just explained, the aura of coming into a building, having a guy, you know, grab a belt on the way down before he meets barbed wire, flaming tables. And, I mean, there's just, you would never find fucking Zandig posting pictures of himself getting a fucking pedicure on Facebook. You know, here's Zandig by himself with his wife posing with fucking Disney characters. Oh, wow, look at him and Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. Look at how cute. You know, oh, you know, within a couple weeks of Cage of Death. Yeah, that's what, I mean, Zandig's running around, you know, with his infamous Jesus fucking, that's how he's hyping his shows back then. DJ, it's like, hey, look at me with fucking Minnie Mouse. Jesus Christ. I don't know. It's such a joke, and you get your, I call them like the shit cars, because as I made the example, they have a handful of fans that are still your loyalists and stuff like that. And those group of fans, you can literally shit, like, you can have someone on the CZW staff break into their cars while they're while they're in the show, shit on their driver's seat, and those fucking people will clean that shit out when they leave and talk about it like, man, you know, hey, show wasn't bad. Sucks they shit in our car, but, man, what is it, the 13th next month? Yeah, okay. Well, fuck, man, I guess we'll bring another Wawa bag just in case they shit in the car again. I could, you know, get it out of there, maybe bring some Febreze in case, you know, I mean, they might have to shit in the car again, but either way, I mean, it's CZW for life, right? Yeah, okay. Well, craziest thing happened, man. Someone shit in the car last month. Oh, wow, that's fucking sucks. Yeah, anyway, so you want to go next month? Because I'm going to get, like, an extra front row ticket. So, I mean, you're going to have those people. These are the people that you sell those fucking track jackets for $85, and they buy them. I mean, this is those people. You're always going to have those people. But if you don't have some semblance, some drive to make your company better and different and stand out from everything else, because despite you putting like nothing else on your website and ring post and all that other bullshit, it's like every fucking thing else. It's like everything else. You know why? The only reason I would say it's like nothing else is because everything else seems to be moving upwards, and CZW is just sitting in the fucking middle. And, you know, they'll start to gain some momentum, and then they'll lose half the fucking talent that was helping them gain momentum. And then they wind up somewhere floundering in the middle while everything else seems to make an upward swing. Where's AR Fox? I had, you know, I mean, he was a main fucking player in CZW. He got hurt. They had him for months while he was hurt walk out there with a bandaged up wrist saying, man, the fucking doctors didn't clear me again. This is bullshit. I want to go back out there, you know, fucking. They're like, no, doctors wouldn't clear you. Fuck, as soon as he was cleared, he was wrestling for other companies and not showing up to CZW anymore. So I don't know if AR Fox is done with them. I don't know if, you know, 2 weeks before the fucking show, they're going to go, oh, yeah, Fox is in one of these matches, too. But, you know, that was a major, major name on the CZW cards, and he's gone. I mean, if he's not gone, gone. He's not, he hasn't been a monthly guy. He's working all over the place. That's not CZW. Like I said, Dickinson, they played all these bullshit games, and for whatever, you know, politic-related reason, had him off the card for months, and he was the most over guy in the company. You turn around from there, you bring him back, and who's he fucking matched up with? Disney DJ. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You got Niles Young holding the fucking world title. Who the fuck books Niles Young? Point out the company that books Niles Young at all, let alone up top. Seriously, I don't see no fucking cards with that dude's name on it. I don't know. Maybe he works for Greg Excellence Fed over there. I mean, maybe a couple, like, local feds and shit like that, but, I don't know. I just can't see where these are business moves that is looking to put CZW in a better place. I can't imagine. They got Biff Busick, but Biff, he's taking other bookings, too. You know, all this CZW indie contract, blah, 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 blah. How many guys you got locked down that are a commodity? I don't know. I can't really see it. and it's funny because I saw some shit. Apparently, there were some posts and things, you know, people trying to. Oh, people are always hoping that Gage will come back because that's more or less like, you know, he's like fucking Luke Skywalker. He's our only hope and shit for CZW to be the old CZW's Gage to come back and start fucking people up. And I'll admit to, man, I'm looking forward to when he does get out. And, you know, if he is going back to wrestling, which I've been on, you know, I've been on the fence with for a long, long time. And not even on the fence. I lean towards the dude should probably not be doing this. You know, if he had a bad enough addiction that he had to go rob a fucking bank in broad daylight, I think even though a bank robber is going to have a hard time finding a job outside of, like, a wrestling company or something like that, it's pretty dangerous, man, and I would just like to see the dude live a long and happy and healthy life rather than come out and jump into the same thing that, you know, couldn't have helped his pain, you know, painkiller addiction and those type of things because, you know, tournament of deaths, nonstop, getting lit on fire, all the different things that he was doing, you know, he worked the style of match that would usher in a whole lot of pain. And, you know, that's what that dude was known for. And his main stomping grounds is CZW. I mean, he was booked a couple other places, you know, Jersey All-Pro and stuff. He started, you know, get some good stuff going over there. But I don't know. It just worries me. And, you know, his little servant boy, Lauderdale over there, who's been like the main contact for Nick Gage. He's the guy bringing him whatever money, bringing him whatever. But he's been like the main contact. Who, I mean, the dude, I've never been shy about saying, the dude's a fucking scumbag. He's an absolute scumbag. From what I've heard now, he's now banned from CZW, which is crazy because, I mean, I said a long time ago the type of scumbag he was, and they just allowed him to stay on the inside and just know different things he's not supposed to know and this and this. And, you know, or not even not supposed to know, but for a guy who you might later cut off, well, you let him in the inner circle for a long fucking time. It's just, it's crazy shit. And everybody knew it. I mean, you could hear crazy stories, you know, up and down about this wrestler got into it with him, this wrestler got into it with him, this, that. There was rumors, you know, way back when Niles Young headbutted him when he was in the crowd, that's how he even got rolling. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But he was always a fucking troublemaker. And now someone had posted something about, you know, hopefully Nick Gage gets out. You know, maybe he gets out early. Maybe this and that. Cage's ass, all this. And Brett had posted something somewhere, which, you know, made its way to the message boards over there. More or less saying that, like, oh, whoa, you know, DJ hasn't contacted Nick since 2010, and, you know, there's a lot of making up that DJ is going to have to do with Nick Gage before he even considers going back to CZW, because, you know, there has been no attempt to help him or say anything to him. So before you guys get your hopes up, you know, DJ is going to have to do a lot of making up. So, you know, he's like a little go-between rodent. And I'm sure him getting banned from CZW, if that was the case, which, you know, I'm only going off of what I heard. I have no, like, legitimate, like, yes, and I have, you know, documentation that he's not allowed on the press. I don't fucking know. But, you know, if that's the case, and that's his little, you know, right-hand man, that's been running back and forth with money with, you know, for him for years and info back and forth and all this, you know, it might be a problem as far as Gage coming back. But like I said, I would like to see the dude, you know, happy and healthy and, you know, living a good life. I don't know what kind of options he's going to have when he gets out, because like I said, he did rob a bank, you know, considered armed robbery. I don't know what kind of job opportunities you have there. Deathmatch wrestling is a pretty open door for that type of thing. But, you know, it should be interesting to see, but I don't know. CZW, to me, is a very, very different animal than it used to be. And, like I said, I'll watch Kid to Death, but I don't know about... I don't know about making the trip out there. I have a feeling that the main event's actually going to be good. Even though, you know, they're not primarily guys who would work a Cage of Death match. I think, you know, between G's is an absolute veteran and CZW, one of the longest, you know, guys working in CZW. And Gulak's an awesome wrestler. I mean, his ability to, you know, put things together, I think he's going to be able to do a lot. Biff's got a lot of intensity, and Niles Young just has to find a way in there. I don't know. All right. So, you know, should be interesting. I really don't know how to feel about it, but I don't know. All right, I'm gonna take a break real quick, come back and talk about Survivor Series, that type of thing. Let me see, I got a couple tracks here. And let me go with this one.
The pop bull, Tip Rogers, a hot boy, it's a fat boy. Skinny ties, don't envy my nigga, tall ceilings, chandeliers, I'm all thinning, getting long money. Short winded, let go and get a nigga, bang, bang. Bitch niggas get drinking shades from that double lip. money bags get bigger. Angels tatted all on me. Pray for a Lord sinner. Rolls Royce Corniche sweeping me off my feet. New bitches, they by the bleeding. We do them all by the beat. Taz Angels just want to chill. Jewelers just want to meet. Weed man expense, 3 trips a week. Misses just want to freak. Feds stay up the street. Know they telling us close, so we leak what we want to leak. New Mark, too sharp, my super Farrakhan. In the house of the Lord, my niggas bearing arms. His eyes wide, nose runny, got what he eating for. I'm moving bass, we out of state, you know my speakers low. Put the pistol to your mouth, I show me to the safe. Grammy nominated once, but I'm still
you
moving
see the
bass.
Blacks on a nigga ball, they were still moving bass. Got them records jumping out the star, they were still moving bass. Copper tried to knock us off. Still moving basic. Haters showing shots to a nigga jaw. And we still moving basic.
You see the plaques on the wall. College, I see that it costs a lot. Talent's filling the jam in Miami, still in my heart. Niggas playing the corner, guess they playing their part. Early cop in the coupe, ladies stay on our feet. Your brother went to duplex, smell a dope from across the street. Hoodies coming, all flavors all black if you think you're sweet. A-Rap selling grenades by the box, get it cheap. Schooling the little niggas, kilos all in the campus. A passport was necessary, a pizza with all the rappers. I beast with all the recaps. Head shop for some tobacco. PR80 just a plus, don't mention the dust. ROC-MM, kill anything we touch.
The blacks on a nigga ball, they were still moving bass. Got them records jumping out the star, they were still moving bass. Copper tried to knock us off, they were still moving bass. Haters showing shots to a nigga jaw, they were still moving bass.
Right, so one good thing that I also, came with was, I've been saying I had problems with everything technical, computer-wise and all that shit. I'm retarded with it, but I had problems with my audio program where I couldn't do a fucking thing. I could put everything on there, and I would see the bars moving as if sound was coming out, and nothing was coming out. Tried everything. I had my dude Mish over there from Wrestling Soup. Going back and forth with me, trying to figure things out, hey, try this, hey, try that, all these different things, nothing was working. And the weirdest thing is, like, my computer will play, like, iTunes, and it'll play YouTube shit, and it'll play all of that. For some reason, when I go to that, wasn't playing that. So I'm like, what the fuck? And I have no other way to edit audio clips or piece things together, other than, my big Kingston DJ thing that I did. I don't have a whole like body of work that I'm like, oh, look at all these things I've done. I'm pretty new to it, and I'm proud of that one. But a couple little things, just piecing together and having fun with stuff. I'm gonna start doing a lot more of that. But anyway, I just thought about it the other day at work, because a lot of times I'll put whatever's on my computer on my TV. Like, I could put a movie on the computer, put it on my TV. I could put wrestling on the computer, put it on my TV. It works awesome for iPay-per-views. Put on an iPay-per-view, put it right on my TV. Like, watching it like I'm supposed to be watching. So, thought about it. I'm like, shit, let me try running that program and then put it on my TV and see if it comes out those speakers. Sure enough, boom, no problem. So, my computer speakers are fucked up. Something's up with my computer speakers that's the problem. So I have to buy new speakers. But for the time being, I could put that shit over there on my TV and do all the editing I need to do. So it's absolutely perfect. And I was able to put together and actually make a little better my jerk off of the week music. And, for that segment. So I'm going to do that, and I had a bunch of ideas and a bunch of different things I wanted to do, and it was, like, fucking late last night, I think, and I was like,
I want to like keep fucking with this, but you know what? Like, let me just shut this thing off. Sunday I'll have a lot of time because at least I plan on having a lot of time because my Niners are on Thursday. Tomorrow night, I can't even get started on that just yet. But so Sunday I should have enough time to fuck around with this audio thing. And if I get rolling, I should be able to accomplish a bunch of different ideas that I think will be pretty fun. But so yeah, without further ado, let me bring back one of my favorite segments, and that is Jerk Off of the Week.
Oh, you motherfuckers. Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
My jerk-off of the week is every one of these motherfuckers that go out first week of November putting their goddamn Christmas lights up. You know what? And it's not because of tradition. It's because these motherfuckers make me look like a dickhead in front of my kids. My kids see Christmas lights from three blocks away and start, Dad, when you putting Christmas lights up? Dad, when you putting the Christmas lights up? These motherfuckers put Christmas lights up when it's 45 degrees out, 50 degrees out. Summer barely ends and they're putting the fucking Christmas lights up. You can see these motherfuckers hanging Christmas lights while you're bringing your kids trick-or-treating. What the fuck are you supposed to do with the rest of your day? You know what I mean? So they push forward everything that you're supposed to be doing by weeks and weeks, and now the pressure's on your shit. You know what I mean? You putting them shits up late is not even an option, because you putting them shits up on time would still be late to them because of these dickheads hanging the fucking Christmas lights in the beginning of November. Take
fuck
these motherfuckers.
You fucking fuck.
Starting them off, you got a gun, fucking shoot them in the face.
There you go. So, that's that. Survivor Series. Let me go into this real quick. Not even real quick, just in general. Didn't really focus on any of that pre-show stuff other than, you know, Library and Booker T was in full effect with the big, big fucking, real big bun. He ain't fucking around with that bun. The shit is like a hat. It's fucking big as hell. It's like he's got a braid volleyball on top of his head. Shit is crazy. So first thing is the Fatal 4-Way for the WWE Tag Team titles. This is, I mean, just a great fucking lineup of talent with the Usos, Damien, the Mizdow group over there, Los Matadores, and Goldust and Stardust. Just great match. And I just cannot say enough. I haven't found a lot of things that I like more than I liked the Damien Mizdow character. I mean, the amount that he puts into that shit is just absolutely unbelievable. It's just one of my favorite things in wrestling right now. And, I mean, Miz is up on the top rope. He gets grabbed, tossed, you know, off the top rope onto the mat. Fucking Sandow takes a bump, flips himself over the rope just to take a back bump on the ring and sell the same off the top rope bump that fucking Miz just sold. I mean, it's just fucking crazy. I mean, he does this shit off the apron. I still absolutely sure they need to have like a picture in picture and just film what that dude is doing the entire match. Have him up in the corner doing everything that he's doing. Just show that shit while they're having the match. They won the tag titles, which I think is awesome. They had Sandow get the Mizdow get the roll up, and Miz immediately runs in, grabs both titles, and just starts celebrating. You know, holding the titles in the air. Mizdow's on the other turnbuckle, and he's raising two invisible titles in the air. I mean, he doesn't fucking stop. The effort and energy that he puts into that gimmick is just tremendous. I mean, it's just fucking awesome. So, I can't say enough about that, and I hope they keep that going for a while. I mean, it definitely seems like this is the beginning of them leading into a, you know, that being a feud. But I hope that they really drag that out for a long time, because that is just fucking awesome.
Then you had a Survivor Series match of Paige, Cameron, Summer Rae, and Layla versus Natalya, Emma, Naomi, and Alicia Fox. I was glad to see Emma used again, and I think she even got a pin in there. And good stuff. I don't understand why Summer has a job. She's horrible in the ring, and she's ugly as shit. I mean, she is one of the ugliest females in professional wrestling. I got to go with her and Angelina Love are got to be the two ugliest chicks in professional wrestling. I understand she's blonde and everything like that, but, like, there's a lot of pretty blonde chicks out there. Like, you got to be able to get someone better. It's not like she's great in the ring and ugly. She's ugly and bad in the ring and awkward, and it just – it doesn't make any motherfucking sense to me. I don't know if she's good at other shit that keeps her job. I don't know, but that shit is horrendous. I can't take that shit. But all right, otherwise. Ambrose versus Bray Wyatt. This is good stuff. I definitely like these two, feuding. I think there's a lot they could do with that. You know, they just more or less use this to build Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose TLC match. They did the whole, disqualification. He didn't care whether he got disqualified. Then he buried him in chairs and, tables and, had the ladder and all of that stuff. So, just led into that, and they continued the feud that way. I liked it. And what did they do? They had Adam Rose and the Bunny versus Titus O'Neil and Heath Slater. I don't know where they're going with this. I'm just not a real big fan. I understand that the indie wrestlers love the Adam Rose gimmick because they have the that big extra spot that people love to jump in and fill. And, I don't know who the fucking Bunny is. That's the only thing, I'm mildly interested in is I hope they unmask this Bunny soon so I can figure out who the fuck that is. For a while it was a lot of people said, and it makes sense because they've been on and off feuding with Titus O'Neil forever. You would think it was what's his name, fucking Darren Young, but he's too tall. You can see his wrists are white, and now they got him like banging Adam Rose in the ass and shit. So I'm pretty sure they're not going to use the gay guy and have the rabbit trying to bang people in the ass. I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that. That would be tremendously offensive after they just try to use the guy as kind of like a platform to look, we're open to all opportunities, which is also kind of strange because outside of that outside chance of this guy being the Bunny, they've completely buried that guy. They used, 1 minute to be like, hey, look, he came out as he's gay. We're so proud of him. I'm John Cena. I'm proud of him. I'm so proud. Anyway, can you get his shit and help him fucking bring it to the car? Because, I don't know where the fuck he's at. I don't think he's working NXT matches. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know what the fuck's going on. But, So, just kind of, I'll be interested to see who the Bunny is. If it's someone that we know, someone they're bringing in, trying to work off the Bunny. I don't know. Nikki Bella versus AJ Lee. They did a real quick join here. Had the other Bella. Jesus. Brie Bella make out with AJ to distract her. And Nikki hit the finish in one thing. So, Nikki's the champion. From what I hear, the AJ is going to be taking time off. So, not a big surprise. She seems to be, on a much lighter schedule. She pops in and out. They take the title off of whoever. Give it back to her whenever she shows up. And then a month or two later, off of her. And she, does what she does. I think they need to add a lot more talent to that Divas division. And, they have the ability to do it. They just got to get off this Summer Rae bullshit. The Bellas do their job, but they've honestly gotten a whole lot better, surprisingly better as far as I'm concerned. But, maybe the acting's not so good. They don't need to do the long drawn out, I hate my sister since I was a kid bullshit. They cut that shit out. But ring-wise, I think they've gotten a lot better. And then after the match, they're all smiling and hugging and celebrating. And I didn't watch all of Raw to see, you know, what came out of that or if they went in any further into, like, how they're just best friends again now. I don't know. So maybe I'll go back and watch that, or I'll just catch up next week and see what, you know, see what they do. So then you got the main event, the Survivor Series match. It's Kane, Mark Henry, Rusev, Luke Harper, and Seth Rollins versus Big Show, Eric Rowan, Dolph Ziggler, Ryback, and Cena. This match was fucking awesome. Absolutely fucking awesome. Caught me by surprise completely. They start off with the Big Show and Mark Henry. This match really had everything. Big Show and Mark Henry start off. And right off the bat, fucking Henry runs in. And Show just knocks him the fuck out and pins him. So it's like, oh, fuck. That's it. Henry's gone. You know, then they battled for a while. They did, you know, a bunch of different things with Ryback, you know, and them trying to take him out and everything. They tease Rusev getting pinned by Ryback, and Rusev hasn't been pinned, so that was like a big thing. And then they... You know, they made it so Rusev got it counted out. So he still didn't get pinned, but that was how he made his exit from the match. So, yeah, you know, that was another thing. They had, terrible with names tonight for some reason. They had Harper and fucking, what's his nose over there? They had them, you know, teasing, fighting and shit. So you had, Jesus Christ, where is, Harper and fucking, I don't know why I can't remember the other dude's name. I just said it a second ago. But, Rowan. Yeah, so you had Rowan and Harper over there fucking, you know, they were, you know, teasing, going at it and all that shit. So there was, like, another dynamic that you had in the match. You wind up having Cena surprisingly go out because the Big Show turns on him and walks out of the match. So not only do you lose Cena, which is, you know, hugely shocking, you lose the Big Show because that's another guy, and he just walked out taking himself out of the match. Now you got a two-on-one. You got Harper and Rollins against just Dolph Ziggler. So Dolph Ziggler overcomes the odds in order to be, you know, the one-on-one. And at this point, he's overcoming the odds to be one-on-one, but, you know, what chance does he stand with that? Because, fucking, you know, he still had the, you know, uphill battle just to get to, you know, just to break even. So he ends up getting the win over Harper, and it's one-on-one, him and Seth Rollins. And now they're just fucking tearing it up. And, you know, all sorts of interference shit going on with, you know, Mercury and all that shit, and Jamie Noble, and, you know, Triple H with the interference, and, you know, they're back and forth and back, and they just can't fucking keep them down. And it looks like Triple H is gonna, you know, hit him with the pedigree, and he's gonna do the thing. He's gonna have you know, they're knocking refs out, and now they're gonna have you know, hits the pedigree, and they're gonna have Rollins take the win off of this. Sting's music hits, well, his, you know, WWE music hits, Sting walks out. Fucking, you know, I mean, people have been teasing and rumoring this for 2 years now. At least 2-3 years now. Sting, it's gonna happen, never fucking happen. Boom. Fucking Sting comes out. Stare down with Triple H in the middle of the ring. Fucking back and forth. He ends up hitting Triple H with the Scorpion Death Drop. Fucking puts Ziggler on top of Rollins over there. He gets the win. Just fucking awesome stuff. Absolutely awesome stuff. Now, I've said time, you know, a bunch of times, I'm not interested in seeing Sting in another match, or, you know, what kind of run is Sting going to have. If they want to do a big, you know, Triple H Sting thing, I think they could actually make a decent match out of that. They're not, you know... It's not putting Dolph Ziggler in with Sting or anything like that. But Sting was over in TNA doing this thing for a long time. I mean, he even had to carry Jeff Hardy inebriated through a fucking match. And it wasn't even really a match. He just kind of finished him. But just absolute, you know, brutal display of professionalism, lack thereof. But yeah, you know, he was over there doing his thing for a while. So to finally be in the WWE, if he wanted to get a couple matches against like a Triple H at Mania, that type of thing, I'm all for it. You know what I mean? And I think it should be Macho Man. It should be Sting. And like those guys going into the Hall of Fame, straight up. You know, why not? And then next year will be Taker. You know, so I don't know. I just top to bottom, you know, the card was so-so. It definitely had its moments, but that fucking match had so much in it. And if you look at what they did so much build. One criticism that I had huge was this, you know, the month was free on the WWE Network, and they were supposed to be building, you know, followership. They had so many people who canceled their memberships. So this was like their big draw, like, hey, just watch it for free. Just let us show you what we do and watch it for free, and we'll, you know, try to hook you in. So what I think you got to do if you're trying to hook people into a network that shows many different things, one of which is NXT. They had done an NXT Raw match a while back, and it got over huge. The fans went nuts. Adrian Neville in there, Sami Zayn in there. I think what you got to do, and especially because it's SummerSlam, put a six in the SummerSlam, Jesus Christ, Survivor Series. I keep getting mixed up with the S's. I said that a couple times while talking about this pay-per-view. Maybe not today, but, you know, Survivor Series. You know, it used to be all Survivor Series matches. You'd have, you know, low card, mid card, Survivor Series teams. Everyone was building a fucking team this time of year. It was awesome. And now it's just so little of that. They did the Diva thing, but that was just like kind of a throwaway extra Divas match for the sake of doing it. And, you know, you had obviously the main. But it used to be all Survivor Series matches. And so they had a, they should have had an NXT Survivor Series match. And do something that, you know, has some kind of, you know, last one gets a title shot at such and such, and do some kind of character build in the match where it gets people interested to go, wow, look at this fucking talent. You know, Adrian Neville's doing this fucking crazy corkscrew shooting star and, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, do shit that's going to wow the fans and have them go, man, I got to fucking check out what these guys are doing over there and lure them to the network. I'd say that was, that's like number one. You should have absolutely done that. What would it have hurt? Even though, I mean, I would hate to see it that way. Even do it on the fucking pre-show at very worst. Very worst, do it on the pre-show. Not even that. It just, it seemed really, really, really like a big missed opportunity to do that and kind of draw in a bigger audience of fans that may not watch NXT, that may look at it as like a, you know, like, you know, a B-show or something. And the thing I have, like, a big feeling about NXT is it has become so much of a different brand as a different attraction. That's why I think it's not as quick that they're cycling people through. You know, a lot of times you think, like, oh, man, why haven't they brought this guy up? Why haven't they brought this guy up? Because he's a draw in NXT, and NXT is a thing in itself. You know, one of the most popular things on the network. So if you take your superstars that are your main event, your top guys on the biggest show on your network, well, what does that do to your network? Does that draw away from your network to bring you know, Adrian Neville up or bring Sami Zayn up? If that's what people are tuning into every week and they're trying to keep network, you know, subscribers and people tuning into that, they might delay these guys coming up because, hey, man, this makes us a different type of money. This makes us money over here where we're trying to make it, and it doesn't necessarily do us a lot of good just to bring them up to the other card. Like, good. I mean, we already make the WWE money on that big card. It is what it is. I mean, we could patch in Lesnar. We could bring in this guy. We could bring in that guy. They still make their money, whether the ratings dip or drop a little bit. They're having big problems with the network. So it works more in their benefit to keep a lot of that top star, you know, top athletic talent on the NXT cards to keep trying to sell NXT. So to me, it kind of makes sense why they are doing that, because I was in the same boat as everybody else for a while. Like, bring that fucking guy up, bring that fucking guy up. I mean, I could say that about half the NXT roster, but it's a marketable product in itself. And I think that's why they don't just strip all the guys that are obviously ready and bring them up there. They've created a pretty big supercard indie down there. I think coming up, too, in December, I think Steen's going to debut, or at least they're throwing the teasers out there. And so, I mean, you got Kevin Steen, you got Pac, you got Generico, you got Kenta, you got Prince Devitt. I mean, the amount of talent there, Sam Ray Del Sol, the talent there is just insane, absolutely insane. And then, you know, for what I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if he's, you know, rubbing people the wrong way or they really, really don't know what to do with him. But I just find that hard to believe. But Sami Callihan is like one guy that I, you know, have not. I've seen like the little house show footage they've seen, you know, shown in pictures and Dark Match and all that. But you would think this guy would be all over the fucking NXT show by now. I mean, they brought in Kenta, boom, on NXT. They brought in Devitt, boom, on NXT. They brought in Steen, boom, he's going to be on NXT. Sami Callihan has been there for a fucking year, hasn't he? And he's still not on NXT TV? I don't know. Something's wrong with that, and I definitely would like to see him as a regular staple on there. I obviously worry because he's a guy that I'd like to see succeed very, very well. And, you know, just looking forward to seeing that dude there, too. But, yeah, man, it's definitely, like I said, a product in itself. But I think they should have done that on the Survivor Series. Is, you know, like a Survivor Series-style match with those guys and have, you know, hey, well, whoever wins this is going to get a shot at this or that, or they're going to have this stipulation on the next NXT show on the network. And, boom, it's like a, you know, moving commercial. And, they should have not only done that. I know they couldn't have teased this thing because that would have been kind of like the go-to is if you're trying to do that with the network, but Sting couldn't have been revealed earlier. But to do like lead-in packages saying, you know, on the network, you could see when, you know, Triple H fought, you know, The Rock, you know, back in such and such. Do something with the guys that you have on your cards that are still, you know, active. Oh, remember when, you know, oh, here's Kane, corporate fucking Kane. Shit, remember when he, you know, wrestled The Undertaker in the Cell, you know. Well, go on the network and check it out. Like, I don't know why they don't cross-promote older matches, like those type of things that they're giving you access to on the network. You would think they would do those flashbacks more often and just, hey, you want to fucking see it? Type this shit into your search bar in the network and boom, it's right in front of you. I don't know. It just seems like the easiest way to promote your own stuff. I don't know. But like I said, I was extremely happy with that. I thought that match alone was a great way to sell the network. Or the WWE product, not even the network. I mean, I guess, you know, future pay-per-views, but the big show turning, what's going to happen next, which I don't give a fuck. But the big show turning, what's going to happen next? You know, how's Mark Henry going to come out of this, just getting knocked the fuck out? He's a bad motherfucker. He's not going to take well to that. You know, what's he going to do? Oh, Rowan and Harper, look at them. Fucking, they were tag team partners. And now what's going on with them? Let's see where that goes. You know, Dolph Ziggler, holy shit, he comes out on top. You know, what's going to come of that? Obviously, Sting in the end, you know, all that stuff. You know, and Ryback continues to, you know, gather momentum and become, you know, a top name again after being buried for all that time. But since he fought Cena. But, you know, it really set up a lot of what ifs, what happens. And, you know, whether you care about the directions of each individual thing or not, they did set up a lot of future, you know, get the wheels turning on a lot of future things. So I thought it was very interesting the way that they did that whole thing. It had everything. It had the wrestling stuff. It had storyline all over it. You know, like I said, ton of athleticism, storyline all over it. You know, the big shock and awe moment with Sting, you know, tons, twists and turns all over the match. Great, great fucking story. So I loved it. I think that's what I got there. I'm going to, oh, you know, before I go take a break, come back, do the NFL thing. I just want to touch on this Ferguson thing. I think it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. Now, I'm not going to go into the actual incident. You know, there's unnecessary shit that the cops do constantly. There's so much power trip shit that the police do that, I mean, it exists, man. And racism obviously exists too. But something that happens, an injustice that happens, should never spark something the level of what went on there. You know, I'm watching it the other night, and they're just fucking burning buildings to the ground. First off, I don't understand, like, now I'm not promoting doing this type of thing, but if the police did some kind of injustice, and you're mad at the police because they killed somebody, and it was completely, you know, uncalled for, and justice was not served, or whatever you want to say, however outraged you are, why are they not burning the police station down? Well, obviously that's way more fucking dangerous, and that'll get you shot a lot quicker, but that's honestly the only ones you're mad at. You're not burning the courthouse down, you're not burning the police station down, because, well, shit, that'll get you shot. You're burning some fucking poor guy's business to the ground. Oh, here's this fucking hairdresser's joint. Oh, we're fucking burning that down. Oh, we're going to burn this fucking place down after we steal shoes out of there. I mean, what the fuck? I don't understand what one thing has to do with the next. And, you know, I honestly think when things get to that level, hey, man, you go out there and you rob a store, you know, you're running a risk of the fucking store owner shooting you. You're running a risk of, you know, the cops shooting you. You're running a risk of a lot of things when you do that. When this turns up to this level of terror, that's exactly what the fuck it is. It's terror. It's terrorism. It's homegrown terrorism. I think they should move in the military. Some, you know, small portion of the military, some sort of presence, and they should shoot to fucking kill. If this was a terrorist, if this was somebody from another country, and they came into a town, a city, and started burning buildings to the ground, busting through windows, taking everything, they would shoot to fucking kill. They'd call these people terrorists, they'd label them as that, and they would treat them as that. When people are going to create a situation where they are destroying a town, burning businesses to the ground, setting things on fire, flipping cars, doing all these things. Like I said, if these people were from another country, they would be considered terrorists. They should be taken out. It is what it is, man. And I would love to see the fucking news headline that says, this poor man with a, you know, this poor family man with three children was shot dead in cold blood while he was just trying to burn a building to the ground. Oh well. Because that last line kind of lost me on how the guy, you know, the poor guy with kids, because I don't know what fucking family man's going to be running around burning buildings to the ground because he's mad about something. I mean, I feel like this is a real, real easy way to weed out the motherfuckers we don't need in society. Is, hey, man, like I said, you could be completely in the right that the cops are wrong and you should be outraged and protesting. There's nothing wrong with that. Going out and let your voice being heard, and, you know, and there's ways to do things. But when you start destroying other people's shit and endangering lives all over the fucking place, hey, man, you got to go. Sorry, I mean, I have no value for those type of people in society. For what? You know? Like I said, if it was another country, if somebody showed up to your fucking house and decided, hey, man, I'm mad about some shit I saw on the news, now I'm going to burn your fucking house down, you wouldn't be too happy about that shit either. Shit, man, we take a loss to the fucking Seahawks tomorrow and I decide, hey, man, my neighbor's house is gone, fuck this shit. You know, they're not going to take too fucking kindly to that. That ain't got shit to do with them. Look, it ain't have shit to do with anybody who owns a fucking, a drugstore, a liquor store, or, you know, a shoe store, or any one of these joints that they burn to the fucking ground, who may or may not have insurance to cover that type of shit and may never fucking recover. You know what I mean? Like, you completely fucked their lives up because you were mad about shit that ain't had nothing to do with them. And it's just an excuse to do some dirty shit. Because that's not the issue, because they don't have anything to do with each other. I'm so fucking mad that the cops wronged, you know, killed this fucking kid. I'm going to go burn down a shoe store. What the fuck? What does that have to do with anything? It's ignorant fucking behavior. It's ridiculous. And like I said, these people should be wiped off the fucking planet. We don't need people like that. We don't. There's no value to society. You think any one of these fucking people that burned a building down went back to work on fucking Monday and was like, all right, well, you know, fucking crazy weekend there, but anyway, and you know, they were productive members of society? No. I mean, these motherfuckers weren't doing shit before or after. I don't think that there's anything positive going on in their life. You think, you know, later on this month they're going to donate to charity? Or, you know, they're going to be in a soup kitchen later on this month? No, not those type of people. Not at all. Well, I don't know, man. I know, you know, it's a harsh way to think or whatever, but it's a pretty harsh way to live when you're taking shit out like that. And, you know, and they said a lot of things. Well, shit, maybe they shouldn't have gave the verdict at night because, you know, shit gets rough at night. But then a lot of people make good points, too. Yeah, you know, if they did this shit during the day and people started burning buildings down, well, people are still at work. You know, there's still traffic everywhere. I mean, more lives. I mean, people would have lost their lives over that shit. Maybe less people would have acted out because it was daytime, but the people who did act out would have endangered tons more lives. So it's just a terrible situation from top to bottom. You know, from the kid getting killed to everybody else making it a million times worse because, you know, injustices happen constantly, but it's not a way to make it right by making more fucked up shit happen. It's just not, you know, there's no normal motherfucking people that do shit like that. So anyway, so I'm going to go to another break, come back and hit up some of this NFL stuff. And let me see, which joint do I want to play? I'll play this one.
Fight out. Drop back. Drop back. Drop
back. Yeah. Y'all niggas better ease up. Cause I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Oh, damn. Ease up. Don't give me all my other shit. Cause then we get to shooting and cutting shit. Y'all niggas better ease up. I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Oh damn, G's up. Don't give me all my other shit, cause then we get shooting and cutting shit.
I done been caught slipping. Had to take the bullets out myself. Bite down on this bandana and hold my breath. Almost killed me. A couple more inches to the left and I'll be out of here. Finally get my chance to see them. Meanwhile, I'm healing up on popular here. Get hit in the theater, got your bitch on the fence. I got to bust a couple heads with my niggas hold the slim. Talk to see murder, he about to come home from the bed.
And when he come home, I might be the one that's going in. Just hit your block last week, this week I'm going again. You don't know who you fucking with, I'm the one they come and get. You know what you gonna get, I don't know what you gonna get. You ain't never shoot nothing, got shot at. Shot back, pull a stock back, gave his waves a stocking cap. I'm about that. I'm getting a chopper right now. I know where Buck hide him at.
Y'all niggas better ease up. Cause I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Oh damn, ease up. Don't give me all my other shit. Cause then we get to shooting and cutting shit. Y'all niggas better ease up. Cause I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Oh damn, ease up. Don't give me all my other shit, cause then we get shooting and cutting shit. Y'all niggas better.
I've been with the bullshit, niggas saying I'm slippery. The bitch was with my car though, them niggas wasn't hitting me. Niggas said they had me out. Boy, you at the stop sign. Said you tried to take my head off, you better stop lying. I take a nigga work, murk. All I do is this, all you do is miss. I mind down why I'm what they wanna talk about. I show country niggas quick, what New York about. City slick a slick nigga talking slick shit. The slick kind of nigga niggas better stick with. If they trying to eat, out there on the street. Pop sit, pop a nigga, watch a nigga leave.
I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Oh damn, G's up. Don't give me all my other shit, cause then we get to shooting and cutting shit. Y'all niggas better ease up. Cause I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Oh damn, G's up. Don't give me all my other shit, cause then we get to shooting and cutting shit. Y'all niggas better ease up.
Truck no
Lawrence versus Bruce Lee in the kitchen shop of key. Money coming in, ain't no time for sleep. Blunt look like a twig, one hand on a stick. Stash box for the pigs, you dig? So you claim the fame is putting work in. I'm on the Cayman Island getting brains like a surgeon. In solitary pursuits and nothing but the fucking dough. If niggas rips touch and kick your fucking
man,
dough.
Man, fuck out of here with all that money shit. You're scrambling still. Flood them, let the damage build. 357 cannon still. Realists on the planet still. Steal a nigga just because. May him in a comfy club. Yo, he don't mean it. Yes, he does. Be Molina, hefty drugs. I hope you niggas rest in pain. Peel them off a granite piss. My feelings gone since I was six. I steal a corner, rocky wrist. I hear you're boring, not convinced. I was born. On the double dead president.
Young niggas better ease up, cause I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Hold down, ease up. Don't give me all my other shit, cause then we get to shooting and cutting shit. Young niggas better ease up, cause I ain't for the sucker shit. Better figure out who you fucking with. Hold down, ease up. Don't give me all my other shit, cause then we get to shooting and cutting shit. Young niggas better ease up.
Alright, I'm back. Alright, I'm going to go right into the picks because, you know, you motherfuckers got SportsCenter and shit. Chicago at Detroit. Detroit's favored by 6.5. I got to go with Detroit on this one. I mean, they seem kind of shaky. I mean, Detroit is not playing, you know, top-notch football. I don't think Chicago is either. I mean, Chicago came off of, you know, a game against the Bucks, which is, you know, game against the Bucks. But the Lions, let me see what their record is at this point. They're 7-4. They still got something to play for, you know? And, I mean, they just got housed by the fucking, by the Pats, but Pats kind of been doing that, man. They, held them to all field goals and the Pats really have turned it up at this point, but I got to think Detroit at home Thanksgiving Day, fucking, they got to beat Chicago, man. Philly at Dallas. Dallas is favored by 2.5 points. This is a tough one, man, because both of these teams have kind of looked up and down and sideways and shit. Philly, you know, they'll beat the shit out of a team like they just did the Titans. But, you know, I don't know. The Cowboys have been, you know, a tough, tough team. Their running game is one of the best in the league. And, you know, I don't know if Philly is going to be able to handle that. I mean, they got into somewhat of a shootout against the Giants, of all teams. And that fucking Beckham dude is nasty. But, yeah, they were down 11. And the Cowboys came back and were able to win the game. But it's going to be something else, man. I don't know. It's going to be a tough one to call. Again, I kind of got to go with the home team here and just go with Dallas. But if Philly comes out charged up like they've been, Sanchez has been continuing to play good. So, you know, Seattle at San Francisco. Man, I'm hyped like a motherfucker for this game. Going down tomorrow night, man, I'm going to be in rare form. I am not going to be able to speak very well on Friday because I'm going to lose my shit tomorrow night. Fucking Seahawks, man. Can't stand the fucking Seahawks. So I can't wait for this fucking game, man. Fuck Richard Sherman and his bitch ass. Even last week, the Cardinals ended up getting handled by the Seahawks, which was surprising. I expected them to hang in there a little better. But the Cardinals had sacked Russell Wilson like 4 fucking times in the first half. And I don't think now that we got Alden Smith back there, we got Lynch back there, we got Brooks switching him in and out, I think our pass rush is much more dangerous than the Cardinals. And I think we're going to be all over his ass. I mean, you got Chris Borland leading the team in tackles every fucking game right now as a rookie. Bad motherfucker right there. You want to look something cool up, look up, I think you can find it under, like, Chris Borland flipping tackle or Chris Borland sunset flip. And this dude back in, I want to say it was college. I don't think it was high school, but who knows. But he did some shit, man. He did, like, he leaped over the fucking line and more or less sunset flip tackled this fucking dude. It was badass. But you can check that shit out from back then. But that dude is, he's on fucking fire, Chris Borland, man. We could not have, Borland, that dude is a house of fucking fire. Eric Reed back there, Antoine Bethea back there, I think they're going to cause major fucking havoc for those wide receivers. If Russell Wilson has any time to fucking throw, he's going to have some problems with them. You know, we had some problems with the running game that the Redskins put up. So if Marshawn Lynch can get going in that running game over there, we're going to have some problems with them. That's going to be, I would say, their primary attack because, man, if Russell Wilson tries to stand and throw back there, my San Francisco defense is going to put it on that motherfucker. Now, on offense, we've got a lot of things going. We've had a hard time getting things rolling for the most part. But if we're able to fire on the cylinders, we're able to fire on at least some of them. I mean, Frank Gore has been pretty top-notch dude. I mean, he's been consistent. He's not a, 200-yard-a-game rusher anymore, but he's a guy who's going to get them bang-out yards and move the chains. You got Colin Kaepernick. If he's able to have time to throw, I don't think he's scared of Sherman or any of the motherfuckers. And you get guys like Crabtree, and you know Crabtree is going to test Sherman. You know Anquan Boldin, man. You got to keep that guy just amped up. You got to worry about him, causing some unsportsmanlike conduct penalties after the thing. I'll go ahead and predict that Anquan Boldin ends up with an unsportsmanlike conduct or headbutting somebody after the play or some shit, which always scares the shit out of me because last thing you want to do is move backwards while you're moving forward. But that dude is fiery as fuck. Stevie Johnson's been great for us at wide receiver as another weapon. And Vernon Davis is able to hold on to the goddamn ball because we've had all sorts of problems with him ever since he hurt his back earlier in the season. Since he's been back, ball is just bouncing off that motherfucker, man. And he's one of the best tight ends in the league when he plays top-notch football. Hasn't been this year. Really hasn't been. Last year, absolutely. So we'll see if he can come back to, the form he needs to be in. We got a lot of options, man. A lot of fucking options. And I am just beyond fucking hyped. Tomorrow when I get home, I gotta string up my jerseys in this room like I did last year. And I gotta get this motherfucker nined up. Have the whole family nined up as we are every week. Dog's got a jersey, everybody. So, it is what it is, man. I'm going fucking ballistic. Probably rocking that Alden Smith jersey tomorrow night. I think so. I couldn't be more hyped. I got my motherfucking Niners, so you don't got to ask who the fuck I'm picking for that game. That shit is fucking obvious. Got the Giants on Sunday up against Jacksonville Jaguars. Giants favored by 2.5. I got to go with the Giants, man. And then Beckham, holy shit. That dude he catches the shit out the ball. That backwards fucking matrix catch, that shit was crazy as hell. But, I mean, that guy, beyond that catch, he was doing some sideline work, man, that He is going to be a force. As long as that guy stays healthy, he's going to be a serious, serious receiver for years to come in the NFL. So watch out for that fucking guy. Cleveland at Buffalo. Buffalo is favored by 1.5. I got to go with Cleveland going into Buffalo and getting that win. New Orleans at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored by 3.5. I'll go with Pittsburgh there. New Orleans seems to be hitting a rough patch. And, that division is just so up in the air because they're garbage. I really think that if a whole division fails, more or less, if you're first place in that division and you're below 500, I think the division should lose their playoff spot and there should be a third wild card spot. Because the third wild card spot is going to be a well, well superior record to that division leader over there. I think your division should have to beat 500 in order to be eligible. I think if the leader of your division is, 5 and whatever the fuck, or I don't think you should be able to get a playoff spot. I mean, it's like a first-round jobber, It doesn't make any fucking sense. So that's just my opinion. Obviously, I don't think it's going to happen. But I think if your division is playing that poorly that there's, 3-4 wild card teams that have better records than your division leader, then that shit shouldn't be. They should correct that shit. Washington at Indianapolis. Indy favored by 9.5 points. And I think they beat the shit out of Washington. They just put RG3 back on the bench. This team has no identity. We had a hard time with them, but, we're struggling in a couple situations there. I was happy to, you know, leave that shit having swept the entire NFC East. We beat every team in the NFC East. But in the same token, I think Washington takes a big loss against Indy. Oakland at St. Louis. St. Louis favored by 6.5 points. I think they do that. Oakland might have just got a win, but I wouldn't rely on that shit happening too often. Cincinnati at Tampa Bay. Cincinnati's favored by 3.5. I think Cincy beats them easy. Tennessee at Houston. Houston's favored 6.5. I go with Houston. Carolina, Minnesota. Minnesota's favored by 2.5 at home. I'm going to go with Carolina. This is a toss-up. Neither one of these teams are very good at all. San Diego at Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 4.5 points, and I'm teetering on this one, but I think I'm going to go with San Diego. Arizona at Atlanta. Arizona's favored by 2.5 points, and they're going to come back off of that loss against Seattle and beat Atlanta, I believe. New England at Green Bay. And Green Bay's favored by 3.5 points, but New England is on a roll, man. They can handle that cold weather, and I think they're going to go over there, and they're going to beat Green Bay. Denver at Kansas City. Denver is favored by 1.5, and I think they'll win that. Miami at the Jets, and Miami's favored by 4.5. They're actually picking up a little steam here in Miami, and I got to go with Miami. The Jets are looking horrendous. They're back to not knowing who they should be starting. Just fucking havoc goes on, as usual, with the Jets. So that's pretty much that. I hopefully, like I said, we'll have Mike Bailey on next week. I'll definitely have more stuff to talk about. I'm watching a bunch of different things. I will have more audio things put together by next week. I'm almost sure of that. And, check out my dudes over there at the Wrestling Soup. They will be taking this week off, but next week they'll be back. You can check out the Sports Den, although now I'm going to tell you to check out a bunch of shows that aren't on, but Sports Den's not on tonight. I don't know if they're doing one later this week or what's going on there, but, you know, always check out their Facebook page and see what goes on for their upcoming shows and whatnot. Check out Stern Nation and everything they got going on there. Again, check out the Facebook page, and they'll keep you updated on what's going on. And I think that's all I got. And my cat's over here yelling at the fucking bedroom door. All right, so I think that's all I got. I'm just trying to find my fucking outro. All right, yeah, I'll go with the Gremlin song again. Happy Thanksgiving to all you motherfuckers out there. Go eat your turkey. Fill up, get fucking fat, and watch the fucking Niners beat the Seahawks. All right, enjoy yourself. Check you out next week. Thanks for listening. Peace.